job. Amen. That was a blessing. Enjoyed the song. Enjoyed the words of the song. And love the young people singing it. That's a blessing. All right. We need help here with our sound. Brother Payne, we have nothing on the platform here, I think. And everything out front coming through. So if you can get it situated, work on it there a little bit. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27, verses 1 and 2 tonight. Verses 1 and 2. I won't preach from verse 1. I'll just read it since it's right there. We'll get into verse 2 and look at it for a little bit. Still got nothing on the platform, I don't think, or very little. More out front than up here. I'm hearing it out there and not up here. Let's stand together, please, and we'll read here verse number 1 and 2. Proverbs chapter 27. Please join me on that second verse. That'll be our text verse tonight. Now, our book says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. Let's pray together. Dear Father, help us tonight from your word, please. I pray, God, that you'll speak to us. And Lord, I pray that your word will find good ground in our hearts. We ask you that, Lord, every time we meet like this, because every time we meet with an open Bible and an open heart, we have an opportunity to have a little bit of changed life. Help us tonight. Help me, I pray, strengthen my voice for these moments in Jesus' name and amen. I want to speak to you on the subject, be the other guy. The Bible says, let another man praise thee. Years ago, there was a defensive driving, slogan. Watch out for the other guy. Remember that? I don't know if you're old enough to remember that. Watch out for the other guy. Maybe that was just down south. I think that was it. Was that it? Watch out for the other guy. The other guy. My brothers called me the other guy. Evidently didn't think too much of my driving ability and called me the other guy. But anyway, I'm not sure I agree with them. They're younger than me. They're punks. And you know how that goes. So, but anyway, the other guy. So I want to talk tonight on be the other guy. Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. The wise man instructs his son in this verse in the area of praise. And he said in verse number 2, he basically said, son, don't sing your own praises. And boy, we can say amen to that, can't we? Don't sing your own praises. You know, someone said that self-praise is no commendation. Self-praise is no commendation. That's true. Truth of the matter is, self-praise is nauseating and tiring. You get around somebody who's singing their own praises, it doesn't take very long to get tired of it quick. I mean quickly, and you find some reason to get out of their company. Now, according to another scripture, in fact, verse number 21 in this same chapter, look down there, verse number 21. According to another scripture, praise is to us what the fining pot is for silver and what the furnace is for gold. Look at verse number 21. As the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. Now, a fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold is for the purpose of purifying. The fining pot purifies the silver. The furnace purifies the gold. So the wise man said here in chapter 27, verse 21, that like the fining pot purifies silver and like the furnace purifies gold, praise tries us. Praise tests us. If a person is made proud or more conceited by praise, if he takes glory to himself like King Herod did in the New Testament, if he receives it for himself instead of deflecting that praise to God, then the praise has made him more foolish, made him worse off. On the other hand, if he becomes more thankful to God, if he's more conscious of those who have helped him to some means or some area of success, then praise has made him wiser. If he becomes more challenged to succeed in another area, if greater desire burns in his heart to be a better person for Christ's sake, to be more sold out to the Lord, to do it better at whatever he does or she does, then praise has helped that person. See what that means, folks? That means that praise is a powerful matter. Powerful thing. It has the potential to propel people to great success or to, and to encourage them. It also has the power to plunge people to defeat. Someone said, a quote, praise has different effects according to the mind it meets with. It makes a wise man modest, but a fool more arrogant. So praise in itself is not bad. Now, there's a difference between praise and flattery. And all flattery should be rejected. Completely rejected. Completely rejected. Done away with. And by the way, learn how to praise somebody. That's not even the text, the theme of the message tonight. But there's a way to praise somebody and pay them a compliment without flattering them. Southerners are good at flattery. Southerners talk a lot. Blah, 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 blah. And a lot of times they don't mean half what they say. You know, I've told before, I think, when Brother Brown started that church out there, and my wife's mom and dad were one of the five founding families, and they went out on soul winning visitation. And that night, my mother-in-law went with Mrs. Brown, and my father-in-law went with Brother Brown. And then they met back at the house there, not at the church, but at the house where the Browns lived. And Brother Brown said to my in-laws, well, y'all come on in for something to eat. Now, they didn't have anything prepared, had nothing ready. And really, the end of the grocery week didn't even have anything to make for company. You know, but they're Southerners. They didn't mean it. They just said it. But they said it to Midwesterners. And Brother John, he's in the, okay. And sent Mrs. Brown into panic mode because she wasn't prepared to have anybody in the house for anything. But Brother Brown asked because that's just the Southern way. You just say it and you don't mean a thing by it. I hope I've gotten better than that. Amen. But that's true about a lot of Southerners. They just yak, yak, yak. So anyway, I don't know where I was when I got off on that anyway. Praise. As far as I can tell, praise in and of itself is not a bad thing. As far as I can tell, praise is a good thing. It's how it is received that makes it promising or makes it dangerous. It's how it's taken, how it's received. Receiving praise is not a sin. It's what you do with praise. Something I'm bothered by this. Doesn't sound right, Brother Payne, but I'll get through it. But if there's an adjustment, it'll be good. But if not, then I'll get through it. What you do with praise makes it powerful for good or for bad. And definitely one should not praise himself. That, again, I've already mentioned, is nauseating. Now, what the Bible does say here is this. Let another man praise thee. A stranger. What that means is someone other than yourself. So here is my point tonight. There is great potential to encourage someone, to help someone, to inspire someone through the avenue of sincere praise. And I want to say to all of us tonight, let's be the other guy. The other man. Let another man praise thee. We never ought to praise ourselves. We never ought to lift ourselves up. We never ought to receive any glory, talk about anything we've done in a praiseworthy fashion. But there's nothing wrong with being the other guy. There's nothing wrong with being the other man who gives praise and encourages and inspires and helps through the avenue of sincere praise. And everybody in this room knows the effect that sincere praise can have on your heart, can encourage you. I've said many times, I've given the illustration about Brother Woodward and I flying to see Brother Bob Mace, who's now in heaven. Brother Bob Mace was in Kotzebue, Alaska. And where was I the other day? And this guy was either here working on the building or something, and he said something about it being in Alaska, and I said, where were you? And he said, Kotzebue. And I said, I can't believe it. I was in Kotzebue. We got to talk about Kotzebue. And went to see, we flew through Fairbanks, Alaska. And when we came out of Kotzebue back to the lower 48, we stayed overnight on Wednesday night in Fairbanks in a motel. We attended the Bible Baptist Church of Fairbanks, Alaska. They had probably 300 or better, 330 people in Fairbanks, Alaska on a Wednesday night church service. I couldn't believe it. I didn't know the place existed. And Brother Doug Duffett had been there at that time 25 years as pastor of that church. He's still there tonight. That's 10 years ago, probably 10, 11 years ago. And I didn't know him. He asked me to preach in the Wednesday night service. I'm telling you, they sang for probably half an hour, and he led the singing. Led every song, and they sang for half an hour. And then I preached, and those people hung around and visited. And it was June, so it was daylight 24 hours. So they, you know, what are you going to do when you go home? It's still light. It's the craziest thing you ever seen. And the next morning, he took Brother Woodward and I to breakfast. before we caught the plane back to Chicago. And we're eating breakfast with him and talking to him about his church and his family and his wife and children. All five children were still there at the time. Some of them were married and in the church, and the ones that weren't married, of course, were doing well. All of them working and serving in the ministry, and that impressed me. And I said, Brother Duffett, I said, can you tell me something? Brother Woodward and I have young children. What did you do with your kids that caused them to serve the Lord? What did you and your wife do? And like any parent who knows it's the grace of God, that's how he responded. Oh, Brother Terry, it's just the grace of God. I said, I know that. I understand that, but you can be practical with me and help Brother Dan. And he said, okay, I'll tell you what. He said, I'll tell you one thing. He made a statement I've never forgotten. I've talked to you about it, told you over the years. He said this. He said, Brother Terry, remember this. Whoever praises the child controls the child. Whoever praises the child controls the child. I never forgot it. In fact, I gave either my Sunday school class or I gave out on Wednesday night 20 steps to child rearing and 20 steps to rearing children. And every fifth step was whoever praises the child controls the child. Number five was whoever praises the child controls the child. Number 10 was whoever praises the child controls the child. Same thing for 15 and same thing for 20. It made such an impact on my life. Measure sometimes how many of the words that come out of your mouth, parents, are corrective or disciplinary. Do a little test sometime. Or don't do that. Or you should have done this. How many words lack praise? And it may shock you. Whoever praises the child controls the child. Praise has that much power. Now, I believe with all my heart that a church ought to be a place of encouraging praise. Encouraging praise. You say, I'm afraid to praise somebody. I'm afraid they'll take it wrong. It's not your responsibility how they take it. It's not my responsibility how they take it. It's our responsibility to be the other guy. Be the other man. Give the praise. Because it says, let another man praise thee. Now, what you do, if you receive a compliment or an accolade or a praise from somebody here in the church, treat it rightfully. And by the way, you know what I've learned? Don't play the humble pie thing. Don't play the false humility. Well, you know. You know what? That's almost asking for more. Oh, no, I really mean this. No. You know, it's a simple response if somebody tosses you an accolade. Thank you. Or praise God. Just something simple like that. So it's how the person receives it, what they do with it, is not my responsibility, your responsibility. It's our responsibility. I think it's our mandate to be the other guy. Let another man praise thee. Those of us that we ought not praise ourselves, so we ought to be in the business of praising others. Every husband ought to praise his wife. Every wife ought to praise her husband. The children ought to praise the parents, and the parents ought to praise the children. I don't mean syrupy. I don't mean flattery. I don't mean nauseating, but I mean sincerely. One thing is sure, friend, listen very carefully. The world is not going to commend anybody in this room for a dedicated Christian life. The world's not going to do that. You're not going to go over here to Walmart and have them say to you or Kmart or Ace Hardware or anywhere in town, have them say to you, boy, I really appreciate your dedication to Christ. I really appreciate your service to the Lord on that bus or in that Sunday school class or in that choir or just being a blessing as an usher. I tell you, your dedication to Christ is a blessing to me. The world's not going to say, you're not going to get that at the bank. Just not going to get that now. You know, you might get commended for some community service like Brother Caleb did here last Sunday night, which was rightful and it was the right thing, and the fire chief came and it was a big night for us. I enjoyed that, and that was right and that was good. That was good to do. I'm not against that. But I'm saying the world is never going to pay anybody any compliment. The world's not going to pat anybody on the back when it comes to serving the Lord, when it comes to doing right, when it comes to, watch this, being a separated Christian, when it comes to maintaining a good attitude, when it comes to being a blessing to others. The world is not going to give any one of us a compliment. None of us. So if you don't get it at church, where are you going to get it? If people don't receive proper praise at church, where are they going to get it? They get it in their home, yes, and that's good. But it's good to have another man's words praise you. You take it, you handle it right, you don't let it go to your head, you let it make it more thankful to God, more conscious of those that are around you that have helped you be what you are and some measure of success. But praise is encouraging, praise is motivating, praise is inspiring, praise is a help. The Bible is filled, I mean filled, with the subject of praising. And not just praising God, praising each other. If God's people don't recognize the effort and the work and the energy that other Christians put into serving the Lord, nobody else will recognize it. I just want to say that, you know, I appreciate tonight these teenagers stand up here and sing. And I'll tell you something. I watch them, and I watch them critically. Because I don't like young men that can play guts out in the basketball court and barely move their mouths on a song. I don't like that. And we work on that all the time. Okay? And they find themselves playing less and others playing more who may not be as good. Because we want them to be as enthusiastic about singing as they're about playing basketball. I mean that. Same thing. But I appreciate the song that was sung tonight. I appreciate it's not easy to get up and sing as a teenager in front of people. And I appreciate the response of the crowd, the enthusiasm, the amen, the encouragement. You say, you know, why is that necessary? I want to tell you something, friend. It is necessary. The Bible in the New Testament talks about the saying of amen. In a New Testament church, it is a biblical thing. It's encouraging. And it's good for those kids to hear adults say amen. It's good. The little kids sang here on Wednesday night. We had a third of the group missing, either through sickness or through the bad weather. Kids couldn't get here on the bad weather. But those kids that were here, two-thirds of them, stood up here and sang their little hearts out. And there might have been just one or two amens. I felt so bad for them. I felt so bad for them. Because if they don't get an encouragement here, where are they going? Let me tell you something. These teenagers, the world's teenagers aren't walking up to these kids, patting them on the back and saying, man, I admire your Christianity. They're not doing that. So if they don't get it here, where are they going to get it? They need to get it here. And others need to get it here. And we just need to work at being the other guy. Work at being the other man. Let another man praise thee. Don't let it go to your head. Don't take it personally and say, yes, I'm the reason for all. Take it to God. Let it make you more thankful for God's blessings. But be the other guy. Be the other person. Be the other man in this matter of giving praise. Let me give you a couple of thoughts about this if you're going to try to be the other guy for the betterment of somebody else. Number one, you're going to have to see people through God's eyes. You're going to have to see people through God's eyes. See them through God's eyes. Let me show you something tonight. Look at Numbers chapter 23. Let's get back there just for a few minutes. Numbers chapter 23. You're going to have to see people through God's eyes. Numbers chapter 23. I'm not going to take time to read all the verses involved here. I'm going to give you the story of Balak, king of Moab, and Balaam, the prophet of God. Balaam made a big mistake. He went against the perfect will of God and got into the permissive will of God. And that's a whole other lesson and message in itself. And I won't even deal with that tonight. But Balak, the king of Moab, here comes the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt through the Red Sea. They're crossing through the wilderness. And buddy, I mean, people all around them are hearing about the Red Sea experience. They're hearing about the Egyptians being drowned. And these kings of these heathen countries are starting to fear. And Balak, king of Moab, he says, I got an idea. I know how to tend to these folks. He said, I'll get one of their prophets to come over here and curse them. Curse them. So he sent Balaam. He sent for Balaam. He said, you come over here and I'll promote you and give you riches and honor. And man, I'll make you wealthy. And I just need you to say what I want you to say. So come on over here. And by the way, that's still the devil's ploy today with preachers in the Word of God. Always try to trim the message a little bit, make it non-offensive and politically correct. The radio broadcast this morning wasn't politically correct. Not at all. It'd be interesting to see. We get any phone calls this week. But that's all right. That's how it goes. So he hired this prophet. He said, come on over here. And old Balak, he said, this is going to be good. I'm going to get one of their guys to pronounce a curse on them. Look at Numbers 23 and verse number 8. And here is Balaam's words. Look at what he said. So Balak shows him the nation of Israel. He shows him, he takes a look at all the nation of Israel, Balaam does. And then he says in verse number 8, how shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? Look at verse number 11. And Balak said unto Balaam, what hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them all together. He said, man, what are you doing? I brought you over here to curse those people. You stood up on this mountain, you looked at them, and all you did was bless them. Look at Balaam said in verse number 12. And he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? Balaam said, Balak, I've just said what God put on my heart to say. God told me to say, how can I bless whom God, how can I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? I'm just repeating what God laid on my heart. So look what Balak said in verse number 13. Balak said unto him, come, I pray thee, with me unto another place from whence thou shalt sit. So we're going to take another look at this crowd. So I want you to take another look at this crowd. So he takes him to another place. Look at verse number 20. And behold, so here he is looking at him. Balaam's looking at the same crowd. And he says in verse number 20, behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Do you see that? Boy, I like that, don't you? He said, he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of the king is among them. Let me ask you a question. You reckon there was any iniquity in Jacob? The nation of Israel? You reckon there was any perverseness in the nation of Israel? Sure there was. But Balaam said, God said he hadn't seen a thing. God said he hadn't seen anything wrong. Everything's right. And boy, look at Balak. Look at what Balak said in verse number 27. And Balak said unto Balaam, come, I pray thee, I will bring thee unto another place. He said, fellow, this is not going good. I brought you here to curse them, and all you've done is bless them. And now the second time you've blessed them again. Now you come up here, I want you to take a third look at this crowd. And so Balaam takes a third look at the same crowd. And look at what he says, verse number 5 of chapter 24. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. You understand here, he's not talking about individuals. He's talking about the nation. You understand that, right? He's talking about the nation of Israel, the nation of Judah. And he says, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. Look at verse number 10. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I called thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them these three times. He was ticked off. He was mad. And do you know what Balaam said each time? Balaam said, look, he said, Balak, I got my words from God. The things that I said about Israel came right from the Lord. Now here's my point, folks. If anybody knew the junk on the people of Israel, it was God. Sure. But God was not about to fillet his people in front of a heathen king. He wasn't about to. Now God knew everything about them. God knew the negatives. God knew the faults. God knew the shortcomings. God knew all those things, but he overlooked them, and instead he sang their praises in the presence of that heathen king. Now you know what, friends, truth of the matter is, you and I ought to be able to find something worthy of praise in each other. And if you see a fault, you overlook it. If you see a shortcoming, you overlook it. If God can do that, I suppose you and I can do that. I like what Brother Keith Gomez said years and years ago. He said, I was preaching in a service somewhere, I heard him say it. He said, hey folks, he said, the pastor is the under shepherd of the flock, and the people are the sheep. He said, sheep don't shear sheep. The shepherd shears the sheep. Now you think about that for a minute. When it's preaching time, it's Katie, bar the door, unload the truck and let it go, man. And I mean deal with things. And I'm not afraid to deal with things. I have in the past. I did a little bit this morning. I may have to again sometime. I'm not afraid to do that if it's necessary. God says now is the time to do it. But you let the shepherd shear the sheep. You know what the sheep need to do? The sheep need to encourage each other. Sheep need to praise each other. Sheep need to speak well of each other. Well, you know, I saw old brother so-and-so. Yeah, and I suppose God saw brother so-and-so in the camp of Israel, and Mrs. so-and-so in the camp of Israel, and children so-and-so in the camp of Israel, and teenager in the camp of Israel. I suppose God saw that too. But in front of a heathen king, God wasn't going to point out the shortcomings of his family. Well, amen. I like that. I think that's the same attitude we ought to have here at church. Now, for heaven's sake, we sure not ought to talk each other down in front of a lost community. Gracious day. I want to tell you something, friend. If it takes perfection on the part of someone else to bring a word of praise from you, you need to get your eyes fixed. You need to go get a vision check. There's a lot of good in the people of God. There's a lot of trouble. There's a lot of weakness. There's a lot of infirmities. There's a lot of trouble. There's a lot of sin. There's a lot of problem. There's a lot of good in the people of God. And it's smart for us and wise for us, and I think biblical for us, to get our eyes there on that thing. There is something noteworthy of praise about our brothers and sisters in Christ. And brother, we need to speak of them as God would have us speak of them, in front of each other as well as those outside the church and the community. And I'm going to tell you something. Nobody else is encouraging these teenagers. Nobody else is encouraging the children. Nobody else is out there. It's incumbent upon the church to do that. The family, I understand, yes. But the church, be the other guy. Be the other guy. Let another man praise thee. See people through God's eyes. You say, yeah, but then that man, that okay. Everybody has a quirk. Everybody has a twitch. Everybody. Everybody. You just got to overlook it. There's a lot of good in 99.9% of the people that go to this church. And brother, I'm going to tell you, there's not a thing wrong with us recognizing that and saying something about it to them. Saying, you're a blessing to me. I believe that's biblical. I believe it's good. So, see people through God's eyes. See people through God's eyes. And let me say number two tonight. Let God use us as an instrument of encouragement. Let Him use us as an instrument of encouragement. Look at Proverbs chapter 15. One more verse. Proverbs 15. And a couple of thoughts on this passage, and then I'll get you a closing illustration here out of the Bible. We'll be done. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 23. Let God use us as an instrument of encouragement. Proverbs 15 and 23. The Bible says this, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Well, you tell me, how good is it? Because I will imagine, I would guess, there are many in this room who have been the recipient of a word in due season. A good word in due season. Brother, when you received that word in due season, it was good. It was not just good. It was how good. It was helpful. It was encouraging. And church ought to be a place of words in due season. Let the pulpit be the place of correction. Let the pulpit be the place of instruction. Let the pulpit be the place of dealing with things. But brother, amongst people, encourage each other. Encourage each other. There are folks in this room carrying some pretty heavy burdens. Spread some sunshine. Be an encourager. You know, you could make the difference. You could make the difference to encourage a visitor to come back to Faith Baptist Church. You could be the difference in a struggling teenager's life. You could be the difference. You could be the one that lifts the burdened brother's hearts and encourages him with his needs. You could make the shoulders stronger. You could make the hands more steady. You could make the steps more sure of someone who is going through a trial. There are enough people in life dumping garbage. That is easy to do. That is simple to do. It takes the other guy. It takes the other man to be the one to determine, you know what? I'm going to spread some sunshine, not rain. I'm going to be used. I want God to use me. So when people leave my presence, they feel encouraged and inspired and blessed instead of depressed. And that happens too, doesn't it? Yes, it does. You know, it's amazing to me, friend, how businesses, those who run businesses, will work hard at establishing and developing esprit de corps and teamwork and encouragement. And I think that's necessary. I think it's healthy and good. I'm going to tell you what those business owners and people, they know the value of that type spirit. And sometimes without ever knowing it, they take the wisdom from the Word of God and use it to build the people in their business. And when they build the people in the business, they build their business. Sure they do. And they don't even realize they're taking biblical principles. And then you come to a church where we believe the Bible is the Word of God and we don't bring anything to the table when it comes to building this kind of spirit. Where we pull for each other and encourage for each other and don't jump on each other but lift each other's burdens and pat a teenager on the back and say, you're a blessing to me, and shake a young lady's hand and say, I appreciate your spirit and your attitude. I've seen you around your parents and you're a blessing. Jesus said, the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Lost business people. employing principles from the Word of God, they don't even realize it and know it and come to church, and people believe we've got an inspired Bible, preserved Word of God, and we don't practice the principles that we have in the Bible that we believe to be the Word of God. Does that make sense to y'all? I'm telling you what. When we get to heaven, we're going to learn the names of people whose names were not given in Scripture. They're mentioned in Scripture, but their names are never given. And you know what the truth is, friend? Many of those unnamed people were great sources of encouragement to people who accomplished great feats. We know the person who accomplished the great feat. We got their name. But the person who was used to encourage them, we don't know who they are. You know who I think about? I think one of the outstanding examples of what I'm talking about in the Bible, and I refer to it often, to me it's an amazing miracle, is that story over there in 1 Samuel 14 to Jonathan. And 600 soldiers with King Saul standing under a pomegranate tree, and over on this side of the battle, you got 30,000 horsemen and 6,000 chariots and more foot soldiers than you can count. You have a multitude of Philistines, and you got 600 Israelites and two swords. I'm going to tell you what. I don't know that I'd volunteer to go with that crowd. Two swords. Two weapons. That's all they got. Two. And Jonathan says to his armor bearer, let's go over there and take it to him. That armor bearer says, who? He said, me and you. Now, I don't know what you would have said, but I know my carnal nature enough. You smoking something, friend. I don't know what you're on. You got a little hooch put away somewhere or something. I don't know, but you're not with it. Poor fella came this morning inebriated. He was pitiful. Just pitiful. But you know what that armor bearer said? Do what's in your heart. And that's all Jonathan needed. Now we know Jonathan's name. Son of Saul. Great man. Won the victory with two swords. In fact, he only had one. His daddy had the other one. Jonathan and his armor bearer and one weapon against that multitude. And God used those men to win a battle, to defeat an enemy, to spare a nation defeat. And you know really who the guy was that made it happen? It was the armor bearer. We didn't even know his name. If he'd have said, I don't know, John. That's a pretty big crowd. Really, truly, I don't think we ought to do this. I wonder if Jonathan would have ever gone. He said, sure, let's go. I'm with you. Do all that's in your heart. And an unnamed man in this book, one of these days, we're going to look him in the eye and shake his hand as the one who may be responsible for that great victory. That's the kind of person I want to be. I really don't care who knows my name. If I ever have a sermon in Revival Fires, if I ever get a sermon in the Sword of the Lord, that doesn't bother to me. If I'm never invited to preach in anybody else's pulpit, that doesn't matter to me. I like preaching here, and I like being home. You know what I like to do? Just be an inspiration to people. That's what I hope I can do. And you know, if we all wanted to do that, I wonder what this church could accomplish for Christ. I won't be the other guy. I will be the other man. I fail sometimes. I fail many times. But God spoke to my heart. Told me to talk to you about it. Let's be the other guy. Let another man praise thee. And what you do with it, it's up to you. You be wise to give it all to God. But buddy, I'd like to take the responsibility by the horns and be that spreader of sunshine and encouragement instead of cloud and rain. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening tonight. Dear Father, bless us. Help us, please, to be obedient to you. Lord, little adjustments like this in our character can make such a vast difference at home, at church, even where we work. Help us, Lord, to see each other through your eyes. Help us, use us to be an encouragement to others. Lord, help us to be the other guy. Be a spreader of sunshine and not rain. Give us that spirit and attitude, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anybody in the church tonight not born again by the grace of God into His family? Anybody not saved? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. All right. If you're saved, you need to be baptized tonight. The water's ready. Follow the Lord and believers. Baptism, God's people, the Spirit of God spoke to your heart tonight, Pastor. You know, I'd like to be the other guy. Sometimes I have a difficult time. I need to do better at seeing other people through God's eyes. I'd like for God to use me to be an encouragement. I'd like to work at being the other guy. You know, it works in your home, too. It works in your marriage. Yeah, it does. I'd like to be the other guy. I'd like for God to help me be that person. Will the Lord step into your pew tonight and speak to you? Would you raise a hand if He did? All over the building. God bless you. Amen. Let's stand together. Please, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. Would you come?